Listening to episode number 166 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to yet another exciting episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. As always and forever will be, I'm your host, Ben, a.k.a. Marvelous Iggy. Yes, I'm adding Marvelous to my name now because I am truly, truly marvelous. Now, joining me tonight, all the way in the boroughs of New York City, Mr. Taser. Taser, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up there, Captain No Sleep?
Joining me also is the man who looks like Sad Batman sometimes, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome to the show.
How do you know what I look like? Are you watching me? Where's the camera?
And last but not least, the man who chooses to root for wrong sports teams, Johnny V, Johnny, whatever, Wickham. Welcome back once again.
Go Thunder, because who wants to see a bunch of freaking stars so close to applying for AARP cards?
Oh!
Talking about the Spurs, by the way.
Championship pedigree, baby. All right, anyways, we're not a basketball podcast, although I would love to do one. We are a Marvel podcast dedicated to all things Marvel Comics. That includes porn, and yes, there will be porn. So if you are sensitive to hearing that kind of stuff, turn that off now because you're not going to be happy, obviously. But nevertheless, we know you came here to see our reactions to the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, but we're not there just quite yet.
Oh, yeah.
So let's get on to it with some other Marvel Cinematic news. Apparently, everybody's favorite fish superhero, Namor, might be getting a movie. Brian, well, tell us what are the details of a potential Namor movie.
There was news that broke a while back that Legendary Pictures are going to have a 2016 release, but there was no real word as to what it was going to be. It was considered a mystery. However,
Doctor Strange.
Yeah, well, Legendary and Universal Entertainment have now, well, news has surfaced saying it might just be a Namor film, considering I think he's owned in part under the Fantastic Four property. I think. I'm not entirely certain.
Somebody needs to look that up.
He has a lot of associations. He's got the Invaders. He's got
Avengers.
The X-Men in certain cases. So, yeah. He's got a lot of ties.
Okay, that's the least association he has with. Let's be real there.
The X-Men, yeah, it is.
Yeah, he was with the X-Men right
now. But out of all the connections he has...
What, 2 or 3 years, it's really the Invaders and Avengers.
No, more so F.
And some FF.
More so F. He's more so FF than anything. Just because he was one of the first villains they fought.
Point is, he has his... He's got his... spunk all over town. So what they're thinking is that this could be a possible Namor solo release, and that's pretty much all there is to it. There's no real confirmation or denial from Legendary and part of Universal, but that's what we've got to run with, that it could be a Namor film, a solo Prince Namor film.
You know what, just get one of the guys from Suits and cast one of those assholes as Namor.
You know, that's so funny. I was just saying
That guy who looks like a chipmunk whenever he smiles.
I was just thinking they could throw Robert Pattinson in a Speedo for all I care about.
No, because I actually want to see a good Namor film done.
Why? Nobody likes Namor, even when he's portrayed well.
It'd be just another F you to Warner Brothers. Like, hey, we got our fish superhero before you did. Fuck you, assholes.
Well, Warner Bros. Is just totally lost to what to do with their films. I mean, Aquaman will be the least of their.
Well, I mean, their lead is a sad Batman. I mean, how effective can their movie be?
You know what? Just because I loom over my bat-shaped car every once in a while doesn't mean you got to keep throwing.
Rolls
it
up in the Batmobile, locks keys in the car.
No, my favorite of all of them was Batman with the Hello Kitty outfit.
I didn't see that one. No, okay, I know we're off track. But my favorite one was my dad texted me this. It was Batman standing outside of a sign, outside of some convention. At the top of the sign, it said, Parents Exhibition. Oh, damn.
Zing.
Like, God damn it.
Hey, Scott, freeze to help take care of that burn, buddy.
Did anybody see that gif of him pushing the swing?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, God, that's hilarious.
We've quickly turned to a DC podcast, which I know Taser does not want to be. All right, so I'm all for an Aimer movie. You know, it'd be interesting. I liked Waterworld, even though it'd be nothing like Waterworld at all, except underwater, so just reverse Waterworld, I guess.
Waterworld's got a name for.
Well, it'd be in the ocean. I mean, fuck it.
They weren't even in the ocean, they were on the ocean.
Well, I'm saying it'd be reverse water world. It'd be in the ocean.
It'd be a Link movie sailing.
All I'm saying is it would be if they do a Namor movie, it would automatically if they
That's like saying this should be the Life Aquatic with the point perspective on the outside.
All I'm saying is that if they do it and if they actually keep it in Atlantis, and not, you know, because they'll probably, I mean, he had a girlfriend in the 40s, so that's not out of the realm of possibility of him. You know, one, I hope it's another period piece. That'd be pretty cool. Two, I hope they actually, if they do it, it's more Atlantis, more cool underwater imagery. Because, you know, that's a new facet, you know, just opening the Marvel Universe into how big it is and what truly amazing it is versus setting it in some city, which I'm pretty sure they're going to do it just because human element. But, you know, it would lend itself to some cool looking underwater visuals, you know, and some cool sea monsters. That's what I say.
I don't know. I don't think a movie that where the majority of the action and settings take place underwater, I don't know if that would work really.
I think it could.
Seriously. I think you're limiting it.
You don't have to do all of it underwater, but like the big set piece just be underwater.
See, I'm torn between wanting him come into conflict with the Fantastic Four and then him coming into conflict with the Marvel
would
Cinematic Universe.
Would you have to be the homeless
proper
guy that like Johnny Storm finds? Would you have me?
I kind of want it. I want it to be both, but I it can't be, or maybe it can, depending on what his rights are. I don't really know. So
actually, what I would do is I would have him do like they introduced him in the Ultimate Universe. He comes in on that big gigantic wave.
Oh, I am Prince Namor. Everybody,
that would work. For me,
I kind of want to do the amnesia thing though, where he's like because
I don't remember
the
water.
Well, because the waters are polluted, and just look up any article, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, and you
also
know
you would have him do that Native American thing where he comes up and he looks at all the trash and he has a tear running down his
yeah, pretty much. I mean, give him a reason to fight. You know, give him a reason to fight.
Oh, rather than just him being antagonistic for no reason?
Pretty much,
okay,
yeah.
Fair enough.
Pretty much, right. Yeah. See, I know my stuff. Johnny, you've been quiet. You talk a little bit.
Well, I was kind of joking when I said it at first, but if fucking Kevin Costner was casted as Namor, I probably would be interested. You know what I'm saying? You know, to even go further with your Waterworld reference, just Kevin Costner as Namor. Why not? Guarantee you that cast puts asses in the seats.
Who doesn't love Kevin Costner?
Exactly.
No, Thomas. You know who would play
the
Namor?
The Academy doesn't love Kevin Costner. That's who
the
doesn't
Rock
love
would play Namor. There you go.
The Rock? What?
I
no.
say Robert Pattinson. Sparkly's only a stone's throw from underwater Sparkle, okay? Give us the sparkly Atlantean.
See, the thing is with The Rock, and this is the thing with The Rock, and this is not a problem with him. It's just
you
that
want to
any movie
seats,
he does.
Namor down in a Speedo, that's going to get ass in the seats.
Get the girls there.
No, sure, absolutely, but they can always just tune on to pro wrestling to see that. You know, the thing is with The Rock, and this is where most of his movies, he's pretty much just playing himself. He's not a character actor. Whereas,
oh, The Rock took out crime fighting. Oh, The Rock became a criminal. The Rock is scorpion.
You know what Namor's cooking? I mean, come on.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. They would tailor stuff for it to be more rock centric, which isn't inherently bad. But from a standpoint, I'd rather have them just flesh out Namor like hell he should be, versus The Rock being The Rock, but just being The Rock underwater. Rock, rock, rock.
You know what it is too? Rock, I think, has the ego and the bravado.
No, he can do it. I'm not saying, but he would be playing himself, and I don't want that.
But we need that in a different actor, is what I'm saying.
No, I want it because I want to see The Rock hit on Kate Mara. Because that as an image just makes me smile.
Meanwhile, Miles Teller's over there trying to puff himself up like.
They would, you know, I bet you if Namor is in the Fantastic Four movies, they would actually have them kiss. Yes. Have her cheat.
Oh, yeah.
I bet just for the spice.
Definitely.
Kevin Costner or I'm not interested. That's pretty much mine.
So who do you want, people? Do you want Kevin Costner as Namor or The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, as Namor?
Hey, Robert Pattinson is still a
Or that douche nozzle over there, but that's fine. Your choice is invalid.
I will have to say this for Robert Pattinson. Like, the movies he's been in since Twilight hasn't offended me, and he's actually a pretty good actor.
Is he?
Like,
how many movies has he been in since Twilight?
He's done a couple of them. He did that one. Oh,
he does all indie flicks, Taser.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yes. Nothing I've ever seen.
Pretty much, yeah.
Nothing's blown up, so yeah.
He was actually in a movie with Chris Cooper, believe it or not, who we were just talking about like 5 minutes ago.
There's your Spider-Man connection. fans, listeners, tell us who you want to play Namor the Submariner. Wait, I thought it was Mariner.
Or Jason Momoa.
No.
He could definitely.
No.
If he turned down Drax, he's not going to take Namor.
No, he'll learn, because once Guardian Galaxy becomes a big hit, he'll learn, I should have taken that fucking
ball. Yeah, okay. Right, like that.
Samuel L. Jackson for Namor. That's what I say.
I would see that.
Okay, real quick. Would you have him fight like Tiger Shark and Atuma, the villain?
Yes!
Yes.
God, yes!
Tiger Shark played by Ice Cube versus Namor played by Samuel Jackson.
So who's Atuma?
Vin Terry Diesel. Cruz.
No, I was going to say Vin Diesel.
Oh, Vin Diesel?
Come on, Vin Diesel. You know what?
Bring back the guy who played Kamala the Ugandan Headhunter. Bring him back.
Hey, wait. We'll do Korvath, the guy who plays Korvath in Guardians. He'll show up and be Atuma.
Wait, Michael Korvath in Guardians?
That's Ugandi Mbulu, the African.
It's Jamon Hufan.
Wait. Like his name is Michael Korvac?
No, Korvath.
Oh, Korvath, I thought you were saying Korvac. I'm like, wait a minute, that's some big shit right there.
No, we're not so lucky. No, okay. It's just
not yet, at least. Okay.
Yeah, anyway. So yeah.
All right, let's move on to some comic news. Brian, apparently Red Skull on Thought's coming back. What do we got?
Yes. For those of you who were tuning in during our C2E2 roundup, there was a little thing announced there called Axis at the drop in fall of 2014. Now, we didn't have a lot of background on what that was or what it pertained to. However, we did notice that the A and the X were stylized in the logo of the Avengers and the X-Men, respectively. Well, now, apparently, a new cover for Marvel Previews has dropped, and it includes a little look at Axis, which, as it turns out, is a Rick Remender event centering around Onslaught Red Skull and his crew of baddies, seen to include the Green Goblin, Loki, Sabretooth, Doctor Doom, and... Wait a second. Is that Carnage or Dormammu?
That looks like Carnage. That looks like Carnage to me.
I think it might
like
be Dormammu.
Carnage with yellow eyes.
That's why I'm thinking Dormammu.
No,
something.
Carnage has been depicted with yellow eyes before.
Okay, well, some unidentified sixth figure then. But essentially what we're getting here is early in Rick Remender's run over in Uncanny Avengers, we got a glimpse of
a dystopian
era future with Onslaught Red Skull, and now we're circling back around to that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what do we think, people?
Sucks.
You go ahead, Johnny. You go ahead and go first.
Well, I mean, I don't have a lot to say beyond it sucks, just because literally Original Sin just started. Like, they're already trying to get me excited for an event on top of an event that
To be fair, this was only meant to be seen at the Diamonds Retailer Summit. Only retailers are supposed to see this. Too. So,
still being the case, and I get that, it still is just kind of like, I'm still trying to get, you know, invested in Original Sin.
Yeah.
It's just so much events. So many events.
It's Marvel, man. They've been doing this since 06.
I can't hold all these events.
You know. I mean, don't get me wrong. Some of them, they can excite me, like Original Sin's doing. It's got me excited. But this, I don't know. Again, I know nothing about the Uncanny Avengers. I know nothing about any of that world.
Oh, you should be reading it. It's a good book.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, it's trying to get me excited for an event when one's literally just started. You can't do that. It's just...
Again, I will maintain that this hasn't technically been officially announced, and this was only meant to be seen by retailers, and some guy took pictures and posted them on the internet. So it's not official.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, you know, it's official and that I'm blaming anyone for it. It's just...
Yeah, I get that, too.
It's very hard to get that excited for something when a Marvel event just started that I'm trying to still get excited about.
Mm-hmm. So. I'm super excited because this is the... This is what Rick Remender has been building. I wouldn't say building because I'm pretty sure it's something else. But, you know, at the end of, I think it was what Brian, remind me if I'm wrong, but it was issue 6 or something where at the final page was a reveal that Red Skull
had become
Onslaught. And for those of you who don't know, Red Skull ate Charles Xavier's brain.
He ate his brain!
So he still has that. So if you know anything about Onslaught, Onslaught was, what, the combination of Xavier and Magneto's minds or some shit like that?
Yeah, I think it was something like
that. Some stupid shit 90s that Scott Lobdell came up with, probably.
We got stupid in the 90s, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to comics.
Well, except for Age of Apocalypse, but that's just
fantastic
stuff.
And we're still living it.
Yeah, well.
Oh.
But I'm excited. I'll check it out. I mean, I know it's probably going to be a separate thing, which kind of pisses me off because I would have liked this have been through just Uncanny Avengers, you know, its own thing. But, you know, if it's an event, that means Remender's arrived, and kudos to him. He deserves it. He's a hardworking man. I love his work. And, you know, hey, I'll buy it. I'll buy 25 copies if I have to. You know, nobody else is going to buy it.
Hey, I'm going to buy it.
I'll buy 24 copies.
All right.
I'll think about buying it, but probably won't.
I'll buy 24 and a half copies. I don't know how that works, but I will. So, Taser, you have anything to say about Axis? Not Access, Axis, Brian.
It's not Access?
It's Axis.
I failed reading fundamental. I have.
Is that racist?
No,
I think,
desire. Anyway. Yeah, I'm with Johnny V on this. I have no interest or desire to dive into this. I don't see it. I mean, granted, having heard a whole lot beyond what you guys just talked about, I don't care. Really don't.
All right. So, yeah, there you go. So now on to the main event. I'm not doing the Michael Buffer voice this time.
I'm hooked on a feeling.
I'm high.
Over the weekend, Marvel Entertainment teased us with, what was it, 3 teasers for the new Guardians of the Galaxy trailer that came out today.
Yes. So beautiful. Yes. So gorgeous.
I'll let them do talking because clearly they're more excited than me. So you, Johnny, you're the most excited.
Johnny,
did you
see it? Did
you
see it, Johnny?
Missed out on it last time.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Okay, you go.
Oh my god! Jeez. I literally watched the trailer about 10 times at work, with looking over my shoulder, you know, make sure no one was coming up behind me.
Can't have that.
But like, I have to like make myself stop watching it. Honestly. I don't understand how anyone could see this and not be excited. Like, I just...
Right?
To me, it's beyond...
It's so enjoyable. It is so...
So much fun. Like, I don't understand how you could watch that and not think the movie is just going to be nothing but loads of fun.
Oh, like, my gosh.
Like, loads of fun. Packed with... Soldier Raccoon. In space.
It's an epic space adventure. That's what it is. It's saying, hey, come on an adventure with us, and it grabs you by the hand and it whisks you away.
To, like, old school rock and roll music.
Exactly. The most colorful use of music, I think, in a Marvel trailer to date.
And what I love about it is it looks like it's going to take chances. And to me...
Absolutely.
When you do something crazy like this... Have to be willing to take those chances.
I know. It's so refreshing.
Otherwise, it's going to be stale. I mean, fucking Glenn Close. Glenn Close is in this
movie.
Dude,
Glenn Close is in this movie. And she's a legitimate actress.
That bitch has got plenty of money. She ain't doing movies just for paychecks.
We got Robert Redford and we got Glenn Close.
Was Robert Redford in this picture?
No, we had him in Captain America. When
I was like, he's pulling double duty.
Yeah, right?
He was really an alien.
Hey, shut up, you.
Just like you thought he was Red Skull?
Oh. Yeah, I was wrong, but I can admit it.
You know, Glenn Close is just doing stuff that she wants to do. So she read the script. It's like,
why oh, is
love to do it would be so much fun. So
why is what?
Right. What's that one movie that Will Ferrell did with the fast cars?
Talking about Talladega Nights?
Why is Will Ferrell's best friend in this movie?
Oh, John C. Reilly.
Why is John C. Reilly in this movie?
Because fuck you, John C. Reilly's funny.
Yeah, really.
Really? Like that cable show he has on Cartoon Swim? I mean, Adult Swim?
Let's not forget John C. Reilly did serious...
I don't like John C. Reilly.
In the 90s, John
C. Reilly... No one's asking you to like John C. Reilly, Ben.
Hoffman.
Look, Ben, no one's asking you to like John C. Reilly. He probably has more than anything else, probably a little bit of a minor role, if anything. I mean, I don't think...
Yeah, he's a Nova. Of course he has a minor role.
You know what, Taser? I'm getting a little sick of your negativity.
Brian, the Bruins suck. There you go.
You know what? I think I might have to come out there to New York, grab my hockey stick, okay? And fill a pillowcase.
Hold on. Whistle blow.
Bruins, because
get a pillowcase full of tin cans filled with baked beans and just start whipping you with it and smacking you across the face.
And Pokemon sucks too. There you go.
I'm gonna go all Joker on your ass and carve a smile into your face and make you watch the Guardians trailer over and over again. That's what I'm gonna do to you.
Yellow flag, Brian Powers, 15 minutes in the penalty box. Go away.
Whoa, why am I
15 minutes in the penalty box. Go away.
Bullshit. This is bullshit.
That's why.
To me, hating the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer is like hating fun. Like, it's just like just being like, I hate fun. I don't even want to have fun. It looks so much fun. Like, it's just going to be nothing but unabashed
fun.
Sci-fi action in space.
And
it
doesn't
take itself too seriously. And it's being led by a filmmaker who has nothing but incredible...
Hits. Doesn't make
positive.
Like,
James Gunn knows what he's doing. He knows how to.
If you want to make a movie that earns about $30 million in ties,
you know what, Johnny, you kick his ass now.
Oh, I don't have to kick his ass because I'm.
To be fair, Josh Whedon didn't have a hit until Avengers, so.
When he has to admit,
how many movies has he done? So I mean, can you hold that against him? James
you have
Gunn.
To admit, Taser, that this is an amazing movie. That's
yeah, I can say it's not. I will say, and I'm a cut in here, I will say that this gave me more than the teaser, so I can actually see, I see a bit more what's going on. I can see why you and Fearless are, you know, basically busting your nut all over the place. I did like seeing Rocket, you know, when he's looking at the guns, he's like, oh, yeah. And then the bit with him walking and he's checking his jock. All right, that made me smile. But the humor...
Batista sucks.
Hey!
What?
I don't like... out of all the entire cast, and granted, he's playing the brute Drax, I'm just like, why are you here?
I'm not thrilled with Batista. You know, I can't say he's awful.
I mean, it's not like he's playing like, a character with a lot of
no, but
either.
Like even his talking is just, I don't know, just something about it just works.
Maybe it's because you know him more as a wrestler than
no, it's
else.
Not that because I can separate.
I don't think they really showed enough of him to really him or Gamora. Like
no, they didn't
show
seem
like
talking.
They were kind of put in the background.
Yes, they were. They were
both him and Gamora. I don't think it.
Hey,
was.
Hey, green folks, to the back of the bus. Hey.
What?
Green folks to the back of the bus.
Okay. Hey.
Okay. But hey, listen, I got to say one thing. And this isn't about the trailer. This is sort of movie adjacent. A little bit of a blurb has been released detailing a little bit about Ronan the Accuser as played by Lee Pace in this film.
That's awesome.
He looks awesome.
He looks awesome.
Amazing.
I like Star-Lord's mask.
What I will say is that apparently they're making him Thanos' right-hand guy in this flick.
Did I say Ronan the Accuser in the movie?
Well, hold on. That's rumor.
I don't think so. I think, honestly, it's what they're going to do with it. I mean, it makes sense from a studio standpoint.
From how? Even I mean, how does it make sense though?
It just because. Look, you've already
is Ronan the accuser, the villain in this movie, or not?
No, no, no. Hey, Ben. Shush.
I'm asking you how. I'm not. Okay. I'm not. Despite what we talked about earlier online, I'm just asking you how.
Okay. Well, as you've already pointed out, Taser, they went ahead and they made a Kree character a black guy, which you've already mentioned.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, at that point, we can assume one of two things. A, the Kree race are going to be a multi-ethnic type thing, and blue people have gone out the window, and Ronan's just blue by sheer happenstance, apparently.
Yeah.
Or B, that the guy is not Kree, and Ronan is Kree. Actually, there's a third option, too. That he's just not
it's
Kree.
It's
going to
be like Titan, where everybody's multiple.
Well, in the Ultimate Universe, I think he was Thanos' son. I think that's what they made him in the Ultimate Universe.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was what his character was in the Ultimate Universe. He was Thanos' son, but Thanos didn't have the game that he had in the 616 Universe, so he was kind of meh. But that being said, in the Ultimate Universe, and I'll check this as I'm saying it, Thanos had a son, and that was Ronan the Accuser. So if they do stick to the more Ultimate roots, I have a feeling that's where they'll be going with it. I can't be certain, but I am certain that he will turn out and be the Thanos' kind of enforcer or something to that effect. I really don't know how they fit the Kree into this if they actually went about that, because I don't know how the Kree are involved in this, if at all.
Supreme intelligence.
Well, Korvath is Kree too, so
if he's Kree, we still don't know. They haven't confirmed or denied what he is. You can say he's Kree, but
well, okay, fair. But I don't think that they would put the character in there and then. You're right. They could just use the character and then just toss him aside and do whatever else the hell they want. But Korvath is Kree too, so.
Okay,
but Korvath is played by Ugandi Mbulu, so
Jamon Son or something like.
Yeah, Dijon
Amistad. Mustard. Just call him Amistad because that's everybody.
Yeah, Dijon Mustard. That's what I'm calling him.
Yeah.
Isn't he the guy from Amistad though?
Yeah. What was his character in Constantine? Papa Midnight or something like that. We'll call him Papa Midnight. Yeah, Papa Midnight. Papa Midnight plays the Kree bounty hunter in this one.
It's Constantine, by the way.
Oh,
it's Constantinople.
You.
Let's get it right.
Fuck you and your pretentiousness.
Well,
so yeah.
So Ronan's the bad guy. He's the bad guy.
I don't know.
He's a henchman.
Because it looked like he was the focus in the trailer.
The henchman thing is what pisses me off even more because they've reduced a character to thug status pretty much. If they do go that route,
Ronan was always in service of the Kree Empire though. So basically, he was
right. That's why I question why he thought it would be better for him to be Thanos's. Or, to be Thanos's, flunky.
Yeah.
Maybe lieutenant. A high.
Okay, subordinate.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, flunky implies, like, rhino, Lieutenant or, like, subordinate implies that, yes, you work for this guy, but only because he's stronger than you, but you are also pretty powerful to be even considered.
If we're talking 616 Thanos versus Ronan, then yeah. Ronan would be a flunky.
The only thing I could really think of that would maybe sort of explain this away.
Batista holds those knives weird.
He holds can I knife. Finish my
he,
sentence?
He holds the knives weird. The knives
Shut
weird.
Up.
Are those adamantium knives?
Oh my god.
What knives are those?
Anyway, so the only thing I could really think of.
Why is Gamora taking off her shirt?
Explain this away would be maybe if Thanos was like threatening the Kree homeworld and was kind of like, do what I say. Or
just
got to
stay on the reservation and they'll be fine.
Oh, wait a minute. So he's doing the Galactus thing?
I don't know.
Works for him to keep Kree alive?
Maybe. I don't know, Taser. But this is it's all I can think of that possibly
do. Do we know even Thanos is even going to play a role? I mean, granted, it's a cosmic movie. Thanos is cosmic. But do we know if Thanos is even going to, like... I don't think he's going to show up.
Well,
but
considering the Prelude comic they've been putting out, I would assume he at least is mentioned at one point or another. I mean, the Nova, for what they are, an intergalactic police force, so to speak, or a shell of it, depending on who you ask, Taser. I assume they have to be aware of someone like Thanos. I mean, he pretty much stays an all-out invasion of Earth.
Not necessarily. He could be one of those shadow dudes.
I suppose, but that I don't think Thanos is that kind of guy. I think he would want you to know it was him because then he could just.
Well,
be
that's
like,
our Thanos. This is this Thanos. This is a different. We don't know anything about the Thanos other than that we know he exists.
And he likes death. That
well,
is,
that was just a nod to the. But yeah, you could be right.
Well,
about
it has
that.
To be more
well,
than that.
We're kind of talking about wouldas, shouldas, maybes. You know, we don't really.
Yeah.
Know.
Yeah, well, that's a trailer.
All we know
the
is
the trailer's interesting.
Is,
I'll say this because I haven't really said my I haven't said my thoughts on the trailer, but it looks interesting. It does look somewhat fun. I think it could be just I'm sleep deprived recently, but I Groot looks okay. I'm glad he doesn't look like an ent. Rocket is easily the best looking out of all of them, and I think he's going to be the one everybody's going to.
I can
gonna,
agree with that.
I mean, it's Bradley. I mean, the funny thing about I have nothing against Bradley Cooper, but the funny thing about like I never would imagine Rocket Raccoon sounding like that. It's
weird, right?
It's a little jarring, but you know what? Hey, it's fine. It works. You know, he has the bravado. It'll work.
It's not bad, really. It's what
yeah, I hope Batista gets speared somehow in the fucking.
Honestly,
movie.
I can actually say that's kind of what I've always heard in my head when I hear Rocket talk.
I always have him like with a British accent.
I didn't. He sounds like somebody who's ready to rumble.
Okay.
And
I can agree with.
For credit, that sounds about right. I agree with you with Batista. Not. He looks kind of odd. I mean, he looks like a guy. Why is he carrying swords? You know, I would think he'd be like some big smasher kind of guy. You know,
well,
I mean,
doesn't Drax have knives in the comics? Drax has knives, doesn't he?
He does, but he's also a lot smaller. He looks like he should be classic Drax with the cape and the freaking concussion blasters and flying and lifting tanks. You know,
yeah.
What's her name? Is Gamora Zoe Saldana?
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't see enough of her.
They're doing, you know what? They're doing the. They're definitely gonna have her and.
And that's because you have to have it if you have a female lead and a male lead. You have to have them.
Yeah.
Somewhat relationshipy, whatever the fuck. What's his name? As I was about to say Peter Gabriel.
Big time.
You know, as Star-Lord.
He has charisma, I'll give him that much.
I'm not sold on him, but I don't hate him. You know, it's weird. I don't know how I would have conceived him. I wouldn't have done it like they did it here, but...
He's kind of goofy.
Yeah, exactly, and that's kind of the thing that I don't like, but... You know, what's his name playing him? He's actually done some good stuff, so
you know what,
maybe he might pull something out.
This guy should have played Hal Jordan, I'm just saying.
You know why they picked him? Because they want to build their army of super Chrises. They already got Hemsworth and Evans, now they got Pratt, so.
Yeah, right, whatever. Anyway, and then the whole... all right, clearly they're prisoners, which, all right, fine. And they're breaking out of whatever, and they're having that whole big, okay, we came out of here, and we're having our walk moment. Ooh. Okay. Yeah.
I'm excited.
The 2 minute and 30 whatever that trailer ran, I can honestly say I liked what I saw here as opposed to that teaser, but I'm not going to run out and see this movie. Not like I.
Oh, yes, you are.
I'm not
yes,
running out.
Yes, you are.
If you guys come up, I'll meet you. You guys are buying my ticket.
Okay, oh, fuck you.
You guys are buying my ticket.
You know what?
As much as you're pub-bubbing, you'll go see it.
Yeah, I will, but I'm not. It's not on my to-do list. I just, after I saw that, I saw the Expendables 3 trailer. I'm amped to see that, and that's coming
fuck
out.
That.
Fuck you.
Guardians of the Galaxy coming out August. It'll be the most controversial podcast we do. I guarantee it.
Expendables 3, in effect, yes.
PG-13,
baby. There
all right.
Thank you, Nick Cage.
It's certainly going to be interesting to see what it does. You know, I've been following social media, even though it's not actually a barometer of how things are going to be, but people generally seem excited about this. But the common question that I see on there is, who the fuck are these guys? So that'll be the biggest hurdle they have to get through.
That's allowable, you know?
No, true, but like it's more so, say, with Iron Man or Thor. Like, you've seen those guys. You've never seen, outside of maybe a cartoon recently, they've never been exposed to.
Well, they've asked the same questions of Nick Fury, too.
To be fair, they had Nick Fury before, and Nick Fury's shown up in things.
Yeah, but why?
This is all new territory. Literally all new territory. So I will be there. I'll probably see it, I don't know, whenever. But yeah.
See? I'm like you. I'm not too.
Like, you all are both crazy because I'm hooked on a feeling.
X-Men Days of Future Past is going to kick
me. No, Days of Future Past is going to blow.
Is the tears of rage and frustration that Johnny V dropped.
Let's move on. Let's move on to the books. Let's move on to the books. And let's move on to the books.
Soul evil. Yes.
Let's move on to the books. Now, we're not talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, apparently. All right. Apparently, I forgot this book came out, but apparently Captain America is still being published. Because last time it came out was like a week before Winter Soldier came out, and that was like 6 weeks ago. Or something like that.
So wait, you're saying it keeps a monthly schedule?
No, it's late. I'm saying it's late. Oh. So the first half of the issue basically is sort of Captain America in a dream state where Sharon's alive, Ian's alive from the previous arc, his adopted son that was really the son of Dr. Arnim Zola. Everybody's alive. Nick Fury's back there throwing a parade. Oh, and even Sharon Carter's alive. That's when and then of course, you know, everything's a dream. Steve realizes that he has been inside Dr. Mindbubble's mind bubble, and apparently the only way to escape a mind bubble is committing suicide in your mind bubble. Mind bubble. And so Steve Rogers effectively kicks ass Jet, the daughter of Arnim Zola, comes in some fun action sequences. He actually rips out uses his shield to knock off the little nozzle thing that the bubbles come out, and apparently it's the end of Dr. Mindbubble because he just jumps out of the helicarrier with nothing to break his fall. So, but the issue seems pointless. The issue seems like filler because half of it's and you're here, and of course a little fight. But it ends with, in the last issue, they revealed that Dr. Mindbubble and the Iron Nail, as he's called, who's basically replacing the Mandarin, as far as I'm concerned at this point, in terms of being that Eastern power who hates everything capitalist. It turns out this Gungrir thing, that this big ass helicarrier, is not simply just a helicarrier, but it's also a giant freaking mech that has a freaking colossal sword. Remind me of Gurren Lagann for some reason. So now Captain America has to figure out to take down this giant robot. Giant robot.
Yay!
Am I the only one reading that book still?
Yep.
Wow. Communist bastards, all of you. I give a 3 out of 5. It was okay. It felt like too long between issues, and this one just didn't seem to... It was okay. It was good. The ending was good, but that's about it. Johnny, you had some porn you wanted to talk about?
Oh, come on, Ben. You know, this would be the one porn you'd be interested in.
I'm so tired. I am legitimately tired. So, go ahead.
Spider-Man XXX, the porn parody.
Oh, here we go.
Overall, I have to say, very disappointed in the movie. Just the women aren't very attractive. The sex scenes, barring one of them, wasn't very interesting. The plot.
So bad you liked the story.
The plot was But I have to give him kind of like props for like throwing twists in here and there because Black Widow shows up, and I kind of didn't see that happening.
I told you he liked the story.
So I've got to say, the Black Widow twist was interesting. Where, you know, Peter Parker wasn't giving up the information, you know, easily. She had to
work it out.
Get it out of him. Overall, the special effects were actually really good. That was like probably one of the most impressive things about the movie. Like, Electro is the main bad guy in it, and his special effects are really well done. The guy that played Electro, though, it was honestly some of the worst porn acting. Like, even on, like, comparing it to other porn acting, it's awful. Like, I'm seeing, like, amateur porn with better acting than the guy who played Electro. I mean, it was...
What did you think of his costume?
It wasn't very good. It was kind of leather, and they didn't really flare out on his mask. It just had, like, lightning bolts on the mask. It wasn't... They should have just had the flares going out, really. That would have been about 10 times more awesome. But his sex scene's actually pretty funny, because at the end, instead of, like, getting the money shot, he electrocutes her. So that's kind of like his money shot. It's electrocutes and kills the hooker he's banking in the hotel room. So that was
the head system.
The first sex scene is Robbie, and I always forget the character's name. She's the receptionist.
Betty Brand.
Wow. Yes,
Robbie and like the
fucking nerds.
In like the hallway of the Daily Planet. She's like, I've gotta, you know, tell you something about this sexual harassment story. And they go out into that hallway and he's like, ooh, sexual harassment, you know. Good hint. And then they, you know, bang there and it's kind of like the interracial scene.
Is the actress who plays Betty, is she hot?
No, the hottest actress in it was probably the girl who played MJ.
Mm. And that's even disappointing. I always liked Betty.
She wasn't that attractive, and she ruined the jackpot line. Oh my god, they tried to pull the jackpot line off.
Oh,
you just hit the tiger. You just hit the jackpot tiger.
Yeah, and it was like so devoid of any kind of like, you know, character depth or emotion. It's like,
I just love you talking about character depth in a porn. I'm sorry. And you didn't like Black Widow, really?
The jackpot. It was just like, oh, God. Why'd you even bother? But I have to say, it has one of the most interesting all-time sex scenes in the alleyway when Spider-Man saves MJ and he's hanging upside down. And she kisses him. And then all of a sudden, it's like so subtle and it was so well executed. He just kind of subtly like lowers himself even lower. And his boner is just like hanging right in her face upside down. And like the entire sex scene is just him getting an upside down blowjob. One of the funniest things I've ever seen. And it was just executed so well. And then I'm trying to think about some other ones I've missed. There was a flash. And there was a Flash Thompson, MJ, Gwen Stacy threesome. It was okay.
Woo!
Special.
Damn.
But, you know, you got to have the threesome scene. And then at the very end, it was kind of odd. It was a...
Now, was that as Flash... Was he gimpy in that, or did he have his full use of his legs?
No, he had full... he had full use of everything. Like, I forget... I think Spider-Man gets pulled away because Electro, like... You know, sucks all electricity out of the city, so they're like in a dark room alone, and Flash is like, ooh, whoa, just three of us. You know, we can still have some fun. And then, of course, MJ and Gwen.
Wow.
And then the final scene was Spider-Man and Black Widow, where he kind of thwarts everything, but then Black Widow's like, there's secret plans that we wanted, and he's like, you think I'm just going to give them to you like that? I don't trust S.H.I.E.L.D. And she's like, oh, I know how to get them out of you. And then there's the Spider-Man, Black Widow sex scene. And then that's when you get kind of the webbing to the face joke, because he gives her a facial at the end. She's like, ooh, the Spider-Man webbing. And that's pretty much... And then Wilson Fisk is in it as well. He's kind of like the mastermind of everything. And let me just say, he's like an amazing cast. Like, the guy they got for Wilson Fisk was perfect. Like, I kind of wish he was in it more.
I'm sorry. This is porn. I'm sorry. I don't go out. Look, I don't have nothing against porn. I watch porn, but I don't go out to watch like parodies like these. And just I'm sorry. I can't take it seriously. I'm sorry.
Johnny V wants to watch a Kingpin porn.
Like I want Kingpin just to be in it because he's such a good cast and he actually probably is
it's
the best
porn.
Actor.
Shouldn't I don't know.
Probably the best actor in it.
It's porn.
And let me just say also, all right, my final point I'll make about the movie is the casting for Peter Parker was better than both the Tobey Maguire and the Andrew Garfield. Like, he looks dead on Peter Parker. I mean, I'll try to, like, whenever we post this on the message boards, I'll post a picture of the actor. I mean, he looks dead on like Peter Parker, I thought. And I love the twist ending where Doc Ock shows up, so I'm hoping for like a Doc Ock Aunt May sex scene in the sequel. Because that would be amazing. Oh my god, I would pay to see that.
I've seen enough hentai to know where this is going.
But exactly. But overall, I'll give it 2.5 warriors, because the upside down blowjob alone has to give it the 2.5, because that alone is worth watching the movie, is the upside down blowjob.
And but you other know, than that couldn't have been easy. I mean, think about it. They're hanging upside down.
And the way they shot the scene, you could tell it wasn't like camera trickery. It made it look like he's really just upside down.
Exactly.
So the actresses, not very attractive. MJ was probably the most attractive. Electro, the guy who played him, I mean, even by porn acting standards, he was bad.
Hater.
So 2.5 out of 5, you know, it's good. If they would have gotten hotter actresses for these iconic roles, it would probably have been much better. But, you know, it was okay. Nothing great except the upside-down blowjob. So just fast forward to that part, and you'll pretty much get what you want out of the movie.
All right. I'd just like to comment on how sad it is that JV was the one to actually do our first porno review, and I still have...
Well, I live to disappoint you.
Written out and I have
dishonor on you, Taser. Dishonor on you and dishonor on your family.
Yeah,
yellow flag, Taser. Banned from reviewing porn for the next 2 months. Automatic first down. Go blue. I'm losing it. Okay, did you have a comic to review? Or anybody else going to go next?
If you want, I can go ahead and review it. That one will be really
short. Oh, that's for that.
All right.
No time limits.
I read The United States of Murder, Inc. by Brian Michael Bendis and Michael Oeming. I'm guessing that's how you pronounce his name. The team that was behind Powers, the critically acclaimed series. Overall, I thought this... It was okay. Like... To explain the story, it's basically like a kind of a very standard mafia family type story. It starts out very quickly. It sets up the main character. It gets rolling really quickly. There's not a whole lot of exposition involved. He's kind of at this mafia initiation where he's getting initiated into the family, and he has to do like a blood ritual. And it kind of starts out like kind of teasing you like this might be like supernatural, but it's really not. It's just kind of like a wicked ceremony where he has to like cut his lip and pour blood on this picture. And it was actually kind of interesting that it didn't turn out to be a supernatural thing. It was just these mafia hitmen are like, you know, all about loyalty. So he does that. And then after he gets initiated, he gets assigned his first assignment, which is to go to DC to give this senator a briefcase that is supposed to be a message to the senator. And then on the way, on the train to D.C., he takes along a friend of his that he coaxes the main boss into letting him go with him. And then on the train, he meets this woman named Jaeger Rose. She's kind of like the sassy redhead who's his protector that, you know, you can already tell there's going to be sexual tension with him there. There's a pretty funny scene where she's like, you know, just go ahead and touch my breasts and get it over with so there's no mysticism behind it. And then he's, like, going in for the touch, and then he doesn't do it, and he kind of... And she's like, oh, offer rescinded, so he didn't get to touch the breasts. But they kind of have a pretty interesting dynamic character-wise. You know, they're set up for something that might potentially be fun there. Once they get to D.C., he ends up giving the senator the briefcase, and in it is just a money, and there's, like, this little, like, statue of a bird with, like, an X through it, and, you know, there's supposed to be some kind of meaning there to the senator, and, you know, the senator kind of actually, like, worried about it. He's like, okay, get the fuck out of here. And then as the main character leaves, the hotel blows up, and it kills his friend. It kills the friend he went there with. And so when he gets back, he's kind of pissed off at, like, all the mafia people. He's like, you know, what the fuck are y'all doing? You sent me on my first assignment. The fucking hotel blows up and my friend dies. And they're kind of like, we promised we didn't know anything about this. You know, you're the made man now. You know, we were not behind this at all. And he's like, yeah, fuck that shit. I know you were. And so they kind of have a falling out. And his mom, who was introduced in the beginning of the comic, calls him and says, you know, get over here, get home immediately. And then he gets home, He comes to find out that his mom is an undercover FBI agent and that, you know, she's been working this case for the entirety of his life. Like, she gave birth to him to infiltrate the mafia. And it kind of makes it seem like they're very, very huge. Like, even bigger than, like, the Corleones and the Godfather. I mean, they literally control New York. Like, they mentioned in the comic how it's their territory and that no one outside their territory can tell them what to do. Like, they literally have everyone paid off. And the mom's like, well, I birthed you just so you would have the bloodlines necessary to get into the organization and infiltrate them. And she tells him that his father and his father's father were killed by them, and that
that
should be what leads him to go undercover. So that twist was actually pretty cool, and it was the highlight of the book. It was kind of like the moment of the book where it's like, oh, shit, you know, this is where it could get really interesting, just how he was kind of born and bred to do this by his mom, who never told him otherwise. So it's kind of like a huge shock for him. I think Bendis really pulled that scene off well. He's like, no, what the fuck's going on? And then, how's it end? Seems like there's a new... All right, and then there's the scene at the very end. There's two undercover agents working with her that's like, did you know what the families had to do to take, you know, part of the country? Does he know who his great-grandfather was? And the mom's like, no, he doesn't. And then it ends. So it kind of leaves you with a little bit of a cliffhanger. You know, want to find out who his great-grandfather is and what he had to do to take control. So overall, it was kind of a standard kind of mafia-type gig until, like, maybe the last three or four pages. But the three or four pages really sold it to me as a story in terms of it building up to it. And I love the whole aspect of it, the undercover aspect of it, him being that he was born into it. Like, she literally gave birth to him in order to infiltrate the mom. To me, that was, like, a very cool character moment. Like, the mom's, so far, is the most interesting character in the book. The art, you know, the art fits the style, I think, the story very well. The color palette's kind of muted, but it's kind of where it's not a very, you know, a loud story. Like, it's actually very subdued in a lot of ways. It's not, you know, like, the characters aren't very loud and boisterous. Like, everyone's kind of, like, dialed back a little bit, I think, to give it a little bit more of a realistic feel. So, parts of it were kind of standard and boring, but parts of it were interesting. So I think I'll give this book a 3 out of 5. If you really, really like mafia stories and would like to see maybe some little twists on those standard mafia stories, you might want to give it a read. But if you're not into that sort of thing, you might just want to steer clear from this, because it definitely just looks to be like an undercover mafia operation, but with some, like, more interesting, even more family ties involved. So, yeah, I would give this a 3 out of 5. I wouldn't say don't read it, but I wouldn't necessarily say, you know, you have to read this unless you're into this kind of story. So that's my hopefully quick and to-the-point review.
Yeah, I want to thank you for giving me hope for the series. I wanted to check it out. It seemed interesting. All right. Brian.
Yes.
Go for it, amigo.
All right, kids. Avengers number 29, or Tony Stark is more of a dick than you initially thought he did. It was. Did? Was? Who cares? It's a joke. Bad one. Anyway, so over in New Avengers, around the launch of Hickman's sort of regime, what he's been building towards with this and Avengers World and that sort of thing, Captain America was briefly included in the Illuminati, which, as you know, are all of Marvel's high-ranking power brokers coming together to sort of decide the fate of the world for themselves, more or less. Now, Cap had sort of come into conflict with the group. There are these scenes called incursions where worlds from different universes are crashing into ours and other universes like them and destroying each other. And essentially, what the Illuminati tried to do is they're pretty much sacrificing other worlds that their world might live. And Cap was against this, of course. He is the moral center of the Marvel Universe, and so he was extremely opposed to this. he stood up for himself. He said he wasn't going to allow this to happen. He would inform people. And this forced Tony to sort of have Stephen Strange wipe his mind a la Zatanna and Batman, so to speak. So that's what you need as background information going through this. They sort of recap it, but essentially that's what happened. What happens in this is that, just like Batman, Cap figures it out. Not sort of through observation and such, but through dreaming, more or less. He sort of dreams about what happened to him, and he figures out that he's been had, so to speak, you know, by these Illuminati folks. And so what ends up happening is, I'm going to kind of glance over one thing. We'll get back to it at the end. He wakes up and he realizes what's happened. So he goes to Widow and Hawkeye. He's like, "You two come with me. We have a trade we have to take care of." Quinn's like, "Oh, who?" "Tony Stark." "Ah." So then he called Thor also, but Thor brought Hyperion and Starbrand with him. And Thor said he recognized the tone in Cap's voice. He knows about brotherly feuds and that they run deep. And he wants extra protection and security there, a la Hyperion and Starbrand, in case things should go south. And Cap's sort of like, "Do I look like I'm going to lose control of the situation?" And Thor's like, "Yeah, you do." And Cap doesn't even respond to it, just goes, "Open the door." And he knocks in Tony's door, and Tony just kind of looks at him and is like, "It was unlocked," you know, being his usual quippy self. So Cap kind of goes to Tony and confronts him, and he's like, "Tony, I remember." "Remember what?" "I remember." Silence, quickly followed by, "Do you want to talk about it?" And that sort of gets into this whole debate these two have. It's really just, you know, who gives you the right? What are you doing? He's not even concerned for himself. He's concerned about what actions the Illuminati have already taken, which you've been following New Avengers, you've seen them play out. But that's what Cap is concerned about. Not even really that they defiled his mind, that they went ahead with these morally questionable actions. And if that doesn't spell what Steve Rogers is, I don't think anything else does, really. It eventually devolves into Cap sucker-punching Tony, and he's just kind of finally lets the group in on what's been happening. Because after he punches Tony, Hawkeye's like, "Okay, look, enough. Trust got you through the door, but now you got to tell us what the hell is going on here." And so he informs them about the Illuminati, about the world incursions, and that they've been setting up other worlds to die so that they might live. And they're all like, "No, this can't be true, can it?" And Tony says not how he means it, although it might have to come to that, but they haven't actively done anything to put other worlds in harm's way as opposed to their own. And that forces Tony pretty much to bring online every suit of armor he has in his workshop and aim it square at the Avengers. And now Cap is pretty much like, "You've been using all of us this entire time." And Tony's like, "Steve, look at what's been happening. I've been right this entire time." And finally, it breaks down into personal resolving. This is when the personal stuff comes out. Cap's just like, "You used me." Tony's like, "Yes, I suppose I did, and I do it again. So what are we going to do about it?" Cap responds coolly, Now I'm going to beat you bloody." And everyone just starts fighting each other. Hammers are swung. Repulsor beams are fired. Cap's shield is thrown. Starbrand's whipping out the energy beams left and right and just leveling all this stuff. It's pretty cool, I'm not going to lie. It's very revealing about what Tony's willing to do to save the world, and it's just a darn cool scene, really. And so as this fight happens, now comes the other thing I kind of glanced over, wherein Cap actually did follow the Illuminati on a particular mission. And that mission pursued one of their initial plans for stopping these world incursions. That is that they use the power of the Infinity Gauntlet and all the Infinity Gems. So Cap actually ended up wielding that during one of the early incursion investigations, and as a result of the energy expenditure, all the stones shattered. They were destroyed.
All but one,
actually, yes. Yeah, sorry. Caps doesn't know what happened, and Namor kind of flips out, blames him, you'd kill us all. And after that mission, that's when the whole thing went down, where they describe what they would have to do now to save the world. Cap disagrees, and as such, he gets mind wiped, etc., etc. Now, in the middle of this melee, out of nowhere, the time gem shows up. It shows up in Cap's hand. And
bum, bum, bum.
That is when it shatters, breaks. You see a blinding flash of light, and the last page is Betrayal plus 48 years, a glimpse into the future. And that is how Avengers number 29 ends.
Ew. That kind of sucks.
It did. The ending was kind of... I'm going to say... I haven't been able to use this word a lot. The ending was befuddling. Strictly because of what point they're trying to get across. Other than that, the whole recapping of Cap's ordeal with the Illuminati felt a little bit unnecessary. Because, you know, they kind of recapped all the essential information over in the first page spread. And if you hadn't been reading New Avengers, you wouldn't have essentially known what was happening. That being said, the whole thing where Tony and Cap finally confront each other was just fucking well done. Like, it was just Tony at his most unrepentant, assholic, not even self-serving, but the ends justify the means, you know, behavior, and Cap being reinforced by this to be his most morally superior self. And so we have these two clashing together, and it just devolves into fighting a robot army with Thor and Hyperion and Starbrand and stuff, and it was just... It was beautiful to look at, just really. I mean, it was because... Who does this? Lionel Yu, one of my favorite artists, did the interiors for this, and he did a beautiful job of illustrating all the shadow and the darkness, and really just the toll it's taken on all these characters. It plays very well in the art, but also... The writing is very, very well done, as is tend to be with Hickman, but yeah, there is that. It was the early stuff, especially with...
Hey, that's my bit.
Hey.
Huh? Why?
That's my bit. Damn
you. The early stuff was very tedious and time-consuming and very...
Boring!
Yes, that too. Although I do enjoy the slow burn of every single member of the Illuminati turning against Cap and just be like, nah, you're on your own, dude. Sorry, I ain't helping you.
They're dicks, except for Doctor Strange. He's awesome.
The Illuminati are all douchebags. Well, Doctor Strange is the most to answer for. He actually wiped Captain America's mind. But...
I'm sure he had his reasons.
Yeah, like Tony told him to go.
Yeah, pretty much.
Go! But yeah, it was the early stuff was boring, but if you slog through it, you got to a fairly entertaining.
Maybe it reads better in trade. Who knows?
Maybe. But like
it
I said,
it doesn't because. Go ahead.
Well, you get it in a shorter.
Oh
like,
my!
If
I knew I was going to be doing a group review, I would have just invited you all in from the get go. Can I just cap this off? Just
give me my thoughts.
Okay. Fine. Wow. Like I was saying. If you've slogged through all the early stuff, you were rewarded with a pretty entertaining breakdown of the Tony-Cap relationship and an interesting, if somewhat confusing, setup for the next issue. A little bit unclear. But, like I said, this issue was not perfect, as evidenced by Mr. Benjamin Snores of boredom.
Wah, wah.
He had to steal Taser's bid to get that point across. But I enjoyed it all the same. What I would give it would be... I feel like the highest I can go is a 3 out of 5, if that. Maybe...
Mid-range?
Yeah, you know, mid-range. Because as entertaining as the latter half of the book was, the first half was, like Ben said, pretty boring. So, yeah, I'll give it 3 out of 5. And a lot of that is because of the Cap Tony confrontation and the art. The art was beautiful.
Oh wait, but, so it is 2006. Cap and Tony are fighting again. Lovely.
Yeah, no shit. Well, we'll see how that plays out in the world of tomorrow.
You know what's funny? I just thought about this is that of the Illuminati, you know. You see all this has nothing to do with the comic, but just all the new Magneto's getting his own book, Elektra got her own book, Iron Fist got her own book, Shang-Chi got his own miniseries, you know. you see all these books, Spider-Man gets relaunched. You see all these new books. Where the fuck is my Doctor Strange ongoing? Where's that?
Oh,
why am I... Silver Surfer got his own fucking ongoing. And that son of a bitch is equally as toxic in terms of
ongoing
series.
Oh, don't worry. It's on its way. We got a casting reveal.
So. Yeah, I know, which is like, come on. I've been dying for one. And now that Romita's gone, he can't draw it, so that dream's already ruined. Oh, fuck it. God. I just want...
First world problems.
I just want my Doctor Strange ongoing. Is that so hard to ask? I've been asking...
You and your first world problems.
Magic characters suck. There you go.
No, they don't. Cosmic characters
they do.
Suck.
Magic characters suck. I'm sorry.
They don't sell, dude.
Neither does freaking
And it's not
servers.
Being hater. It's just being truthful.
No, they're awesome. Bitch slap you with the Wand of Atum.
Well, I'm going to go read my Moon Knight's like fifth ongoing in as many...
Yes, exactly. Like... How the fuck does Moon Knight get another ongoing? How does Punisher get another ongoing? But Doctor Strange can't get a fucking miniseries? F
or
this.
Motherfucking Ellis, that's how.
Moon Knight is the Mary Jane of superheroes.
Freaking Punisher can get
what
a freaking...
What does that mean?
Simple. Mary Jane from the porno movie.
Ah.
All right, Taser, wrap it up. Let's wrap it up. Wrap it up, Taser. Wrap it up.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, I'm reviewing One Eye. Cyclops. One Eye. One Eye. Anyway.
You forgot to add this teen sexiness now, too. Yeah, you can't forget that.
For some people might think it's teen sexy because, you know, it's got teen Scott Summers. But, you know, I'm not that guy. And it's whatever. Written by, because people find it important, Greg Rucka, space writer. This is actually what it says underneath his name, space writer. And Russell Dauterman, space artist. And, you know, I'll give this the page with the you know with the cast list, so to speak. It's actually, you know, all kind of little Star Warsy, and you know, it's funny how they laid that page out. I give them credit for it. Made me smile, but basically the book is young Scott Summers' adventures in space with his dad, which kind of as a concept, you know, drew me to this because I wanted to see how they played out. And it's not bad. You know, this gives us a chance to see, or at least for Scott to have some type of connection with his father when he's still a kid, or at least a young adult, as opposed to being a, you know, full-grown man later on and then discover, father, you're still alive? Scott, my son. You know, we don't get that. We get dad, okay, and... It's not bad. It's interesting. The book opens up with Scott and Hepzibah in space, and she's helping him test out this new force field suit dealy, which allows him to use his optic blasts out in space. And, you know, they discover that for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. So when he fires, he gets pushed back so he can actually fly in space. Yeah, okay. And, you know, the biggest problem there is while they're having fun and this kind of plays out, I think he's got something of a, I don't know, maybe a crush on Hepzibah. And it's not too hard to understand, all things considered. He does kind of make a fool of himself by flying into the ship because, you know, they can't see it coming. And, you know, calling it quits, they come inside and he sits down and he... You know, it goes back to trying to write this letter to Jean, you know, talking about feelings, because, you know, teens do that. And he's got a lot of feels. He wants to say. Yeah, yeah, it's something that kind of needs to get done.
Why isn't sexy Wolverine clone female with him?
Because
you want her to be?
She should be there, damn
she's
it.
She's busy doing nothing in All New X-Men.
She could have gone with him.
No, listen, Ben, she's busy doing nothing in X-Men. I'm being facetious.
No, she is doing something. She got gut stabbed by,
I think it was.
Yeah, she was leaving, and then she got taken out by.
By
Ray.
Stabbed once.
That guy.
Stabbed once, and then she's. Oh, no,
she should be having sex with Teen Cyclops just for the fun and hilariousness of it.
That would have been interesting, believe it or not. But you know that didn't happen.
Robbed
here.
Me of my moment, damn it.
And you know he's still thinking about Jean looking at Hank, which I had to laugh at. Anyway, a lot of it is, you know, we get to see the Star Jammers doing different things. We've got Corsair being, you know, looked over by Sikorsky, and you know, an interesting little love bit between Hepzibah and Corsair, and you got Raza, you got Chad. Thing.
Going
yeah, right. And Chad and Scott are discussing things. And then all of a sudden, the Badoon attack. And it's this really small, funky-looking ship. I be perfectly honest, the ship looks like a Cinnabon with lasers coming out of it. It's the funniest freaking thing I've ever seen. But, you know, this thing, you know, launches an attack on the ship. And you know, for no reason whatsoever, but, you know, they get shit done. They knock out the engines and, you know, Corsair and Hepzibah and Raza wanted to go join them, but he's like, no, I don't think so. Hey, son, would you like to come along? Sure, Dad. And, you know, they do the whole boarding party thing, but they don't go for the doors because Corsair kind of gives out a very important life lesson. Never doors. You never do what's expected, which makes sense because on the inside we saw that there was a bunch of the Badoon there just waiting for that door to open. So, well, you know, what do you do in a case like this? Well, you have the guy with the optic blast make a door, you know, which was actually a nice bit. But one thing I didn't get is the doors, you know, they blow a hole in that area and the Badoon are just kind of there looking up. There's a hole in this ship. None of them get sucked out. Nobody dies. It's just, oh, damn it, they blew in the hole in the ship. Huh? Okay, whatever. You know, okay, I can, you know, you can ignore it. You know, it's comics. You know, so physics don't make sense, and they don't have to. But, you know, it's kind of annoying, but anyway. So, you know, they take the crew, you know, hostage, and they start, you know, rummaging through the ship. And Corsair and Hepzibah, they start having a conversation about what they're going to do about Scott, because Corsair earlier had talked about how he didn't know how to be a father to the kid because, you know, Scott and the brother, they got pushed out the ship. They were really young. It says here they were about 6 years. Scott was at least 6 years old. So 10 years later, and even though for Corsair it's still a bit longer because we have, you know, Big Scott, he never actually raised the kids. And all the stuff that this man has gone through.
Kind of threw him out of a plane.
Well, did this save his life? To be sure.
I know, but I'm just saying what happened. For right, not everybody know. Not everybody who's listening knows the history of Scott Summers. Well, Wes
fair
probably
enough.
Does, but
they got tossed out of a plane, you know, by the parents to help save their life because they were being kidnapped by the Shi'ar because one of them was horny. It's, you know, I actually they saw him when they weren't supposed to see him, and then what was it? The Ken, I think, saw the mother and went, hey. Human female, sex lady, whatever. Either way, they were talking, and he was worried about how he was going to, you know, relate to the boy, because, like I said, he'd never actually raised him, and you know, he didn't want to screw it up. And I'm guessing he's probably heard about what Scott's done on Earth, and he, you know, he's got concerns, and you know, which is a fair point.
You were a shitty father. You did not raise your son properly.
Well, you know, I look at it this way. He kind of thought, well, you know what? He could have gone back to check on the boys, and he didn't do that.
Because he was too busy having space sex and space adventures.
Yeah, so basically he's the Oliver Queen of the Marvel Universe.
Except less of a liberal.
Fair enough. And with a hotter chick. Anyway.
If you're into furries, I guess.
Well, I mean, Ozzy was pounding around with Hal, so I don't know how pretty you judge Hal to be.
Well, look at it this way. She's got a better tail. I like Hepzibah's tail.
I'd still look at Dinah.
But as they're, you know, rummaging through things in the ship and, you know, Corsair's patching it up, him and Hepzibah, you know, continue the conversation, and he, without actually saying what it is, although if you're reading it, you can kind of figure out what it is. She, you know, basically he hints that he wants to take the ship because he notices that, you know, it's not a big ship. It's a small crew that's manning it, but it's really supposed to be a crew of two. So, I mean, that's like big fat clue number one. You know, after they take the Badoon off board and, you know, they're looking at swords and talking about swords versus space armor versus blasters, he has Hepzibah go back and take all of Scott's stuff and some of his stuff, bring it on board this little tiny cruiser. And it's just going to be, you know, Corsair and Scott, you know, taking a bit of a jaunt together. You know, they're going to get some father-son time. And Corsair kind of tells him up front, you know, I don't know about raising, you know, a son. I have no idea how to be a dad to a 16-year-old son. I'm liable to pooch this big time. And Scott says, that's okay. I'm pretty sure I stink at being 16. Hey, Scott, tell you a secret. Everybody stinks at being 16, you know. And then they hit the star jump. Shoom! To be continued. It wasn't a bad story. You know, it's got the feels that's important to some people. Wes, because I know you, you know, butthurt as you are, I know you like this. It's well told. It's a solid story. It moves along pretty quickly. The art is good. You know, the art gets, you know, it doesn't make me want to rip out my eyes. The art gets the job done. There's nothing special about the art. It wasn't fantastic, but the art is solid. I don't know. I give this, I'm going to give this a 4 out of 5. This was a decent book. You know, I think somebody who doesn't know a lot about Scott Summers, you know, but is interested in, you know, maybe some teen melodrama, or anybody who might like the Corsair, you know, they might want to, you know, invest in this. I think I think it's worth the pickup, you know, there you go.
Wolfenstein, what? Yeah.
Wolfenstein? No. You do need
sorry,
sleep.
I got an ad for Wolfenstein. I don't even know what that is, but all right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to yet another episode of the Mighty Warriors.
What about our talk?
What?
Our
no,
talk
moving on.
Discussion.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to another.
No, wait. I thought about this really hard.
No.
I
moving on.
Why not?
Because.
Why?
Because I'm sleepy. All right.
Just it'll take 5 minutes.
Because I'm sleep deprived. Damn it. Anyway.
Just let us talk about it.
We will see. Just to let everybody know, due to this
is bullshit.
Due to
I combed through back issues.
Red flag.
Ideal candidate.
Brian Powers.
What are we talking about?
1 week penalty of being banned from the show.
The topic from last week where it was, who would you take with you on a journey through a magical or otherworldly dimension, so to speak.
Oh. Didn't you pick one?
No.
Did I pick one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew who I was picking.
Okay.
Easy.
Pick.
Well, keep in mind, Johnny V, all Sorcerer Supreme and God/Goddesses were exempt from being chosen. So,
I picked the most pickable one. Perfect.
Say your picks.
Oh, who did you,
say your
who
picks.
Did, who did you pick?
I got nothing.
Her.
Who?
Her.
Who's her?
remember the group that made Adam Warlock? They made a female.
Oh! Her?
Yes, her.
Huh. I see. Oh, okay. Fair enough, fair enough.
Golden Space Wu-Tang. Space Beyonce. You can't beat that.
Right, I suppose.
Magic
count? Yeah, well, it was magic/dimensional.
I picked Doctor Strange.
Otherworld, Lisa.
You would.
No Sorcerer Supreme,
Doctor
damn it.
Strange when he's not the Sorcerer Supreme. Oh.
That doesn't make any sense.
Also, basically, when he was... No, Doctor Strange when he was a legitimate doctor.
Yeah, pretty much. I died, but at least I hang around with him. He'd be fun.
God, you guys have no imagination.
No, I'm just sleep deprived, motherfucker.
I mean, I didn't keep it sci-fi.
You chose Donald Duck, didn't you?
No, actually, I chose Ulysses Bloodstone. Yeah, if I'm going to have someone with me, I want it to be a fucking monster slayer. You know what I'm saying?
Why didn't you choose Damien Hellstrom,
then? That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
I'll take magic, because that bitch can get me anywhere.
But she has goat legs. That's creepy.
Yeah, but you know what, though?
All of us Star Child.
Dude, and you have to travel through hell to, you know, dude.
That's not fun.
Plus, she only has the goat legs when she's Dark
That's
Child,
still creepy,
so
though.
That.
Yeah, but, you know, she's disassociated, very much so.
She doesn't like people, except unless you're Colossus.
And come on, let's be honest. Johnny V is going to try and hit on
Of course he is, but then she'll just
and
get
she's going to leave him on Pluto.
No, she'll stab him with the sword. With that fucking magical sword she has.
And then he'll regret.
I'll stab her with a sword, all right.
Oh!
Somebody get working on that magic porn parody now.
I paid to see that.
Yeah.
She's just another blonde. Never really cared for magic.
Mm. Anyway, I would have gone with either Ulysses or Elsa.
Nah,
I was actually thrown up between
Real answer, I'd probably pal around with Scarlet Witch.
Oh, that's good.
She's another
Oh, yeah, because that'll do you good.
When she's stable, she's cool. I mean,
yeah, and when she's not,
just don't say anything negative about her hair.
As long as she doesn't have the gypsy curls, we're good. As long as she has straight hair, we're fine.
Yeah, ask her about her
kids. Oh, you shallow son of a
bitch. Hey, look, we all have our preferences as women. She's still pretty, but
she is a woman.
Straight hair is better. Also,
half against George Perez art, damn it.
I love his art. I just prefer Scarlet Witch with straight hair. Also, and not short either. She has to have at least shoulder length hair.
Oh, so classic Scarlet.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yes. Nothing
before she went.
Nothing exactly. So there you go. Scarlet Witch, as played by Elizabeth Olsen.
You know what? I think that would be interesting. I can't wait to see her in that because she wasn't bad in Godzilla.
No, she wasn't.
You know, I want to see what.
She's tall, by the way.
She is.
Yeah, I looked a picture up between her and her sisters, and the caption read, "Two hobbits and an elf."
And she also doesn't look as freaky as they do.
No, she doesn't. She looks normal. She's going to be the big star, and her sisters are not the big stars anymore. I just find so much funniness in that. So her, Scarlet Witch, Damien Hellstrom, and whatever Johnny picked. I can't remember what Johnny picked.
Magic,
yeah. You picked Damien Hellstrom, right, Brian?
No, I picked Ulysses Bloodstone.
So Damien Hellstrom, okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll conclude.
Was it Ulysses or his hot daughter, Elsa Bloodstone? I wasn't really sure which one.
So Damien Hellstrom, all right. So that'll conclude.
He's an annoying little prat. I don't need that.
He wasn't always that way.
No, he's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's kind of always that way.
And whatever.
He wasn't when he married Patsy.
Well, that's right, he was married to Patsy.
Yeah,
Walker,
but then
Hellcat.
Patsy dumped his ass.
Is that why her name's Hellcat?
She's a drunkard.
Is that why her name's Hellcat?
No, she's always been Hellcat.
Because I would find it funny if she just added Hell when she started dating.
She just used to be Patsy Hellstrom, so.
So, Hell, that's why I'm, whatever. It just seems like she wasn't always Hellcat, and she got Hellcat just because she, whatever. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Next week, do not expect an episode due to the fact that it's Memorial Day. So if Woo! You're expecting a double review again of X-Men Days of Futures Past or a regular episode, do not. We will be taking – the offices will be closed. So have a happy Memorial Day. We will resume the following week, the first week of June. We will have a double show, which will be X-Men Days of Futures Past, arguably the most anticipated Marvel movie yet that's not named Guardians of the Galaxy. And, of course, also our regular special edition show. So let us...
But then after Days of Future Past, we'll have the real most anticipated movie podcast of the...
But Avengers 2 doesn't come out till next year.
Guardians. Yeah, Big Six. There you go.
Oh, that's the one with the Philippines, right?
Japan.
I thought it was Philippines.
Well, it was like Japan maxed with San Francisco.
Whatever. All right. Well, anyways, everybody have a happy Labor Day. Let us know in the comments who you would like to take on a magical
go
adventure
Thunder.
With.
Thunder.
Chocolate Thunder. Thunder suck. Go Spurs go. Have a happy Memorial Day, people, and God bless.
Thunder strike and suck.
God bless America.
America. And I.